The word virtue, you know, the Greek word was power, and that was a recent one I found. But the Lord's interpretation was, it's the amount of God's word in your heart. The amount of God's word in your heart. Now, this came at a time, this is how I learned word management, just by God giving me one definition about a word. Now, a little side note. On this website, there's a Living Lessons page. And I wrote down some of the definitions that the Lord gave me over the years. Now, one of the first, the word virtue is the one I wrote the most about. Because when I learned how to manage the word in my heart and keep my heart full of the word, that's how I learned to overcome. That's how I got out of dead doctrines. And doctrines of devils are, remember, devils used to be angels and they know how to pervert things. And when the Lord taught me virtue, it meant a lot to me. And this is why. And this is just an example of how, even though you may not have the Hebrew and Greek understanding, the way that the words are applied, the Lord knew that the word was going to have to be translated. And now remember, this is why God gave me definitions. And he didn't give it to me until I asked. Some things you're not going to learn unless you ask. Now most preachers and most men, they go ask other men. But you get perfect knowledge from asking God. Now, he know I'm trying to do his word. He know I'm trying to live by his love. He know that I want to be a blessing to his people because he know my heart. He know what's in it. I got a new heart and I want to do new things. I don't want to do old things. I want to do new things. Good things. Godly things. Jesus things. Now, so that's why, a lot of times when you know you desire to walk in love, no matter what, that's when he's going to teach you. That's when you learn the most from him. Now, when he said this, I saw some things. And also, I had asked the Lord years before why every time he'd give me a message, I felt like it was a holiday. I was full of the word. I had a charge, a fresh word from him charged my heart. And then by the time I got ready to minister, 3 or 4 weeks later, because, starting out, I didn't preach every Sunday. I preached when God gave me something. Or somebody asked me to come minister. Then the Lord would always give me a message. And it would be such a blessing. I felt like a kid on Christmas. And I felt like it was a wonderful holiday. And all my cousins and friends were going to be around. And we were going to eat and have fun and play. And, that's how I felt on the inside. A party going on. I couldn't wait till I got ready to preach that word. But things would go wrong before that happened. And the enemy would set me up. And all kind of disappointing things would happen. And by the time I got ready to preach the word, I had to basically read it off the paper. And I asked the Lord, I said, what's going on? Why is it when you give me a message, I feel like it's a holiday. And 3 or 4 weeks later, I feel so drained, I have to read the message off the paper you gave. And he said, the enemy has been stealing your virtue. Because he had told me what the word virtue was. But then he taught me about how, what was happening. So now I know what to do. I started studying the word that God gave me. And the next day I'd study that same word. And it'll be there when I need it. And that's how I first did. But when the Lord started, when I started reading the chapters, in 2 Peter, Peter said, add to your faith virtue. All right. That's putting more word in your heart. You got faith. Now, it may be like a mustard seed, which is fine. It still works. But now let's add some more word to it. Now, when I used to read scriptures, I would win battles. But I had a lot of them because so many things I didn't know. But when I started reading chapters, my battles were reduced. Because I fought and I protected my life better. I operated by the word better. When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you're looking at, when you look, anytime you're looking at him, whether it's the word or guidance by the Holy Spirit, You're regarding the word that's stored up in your heart. You're looking to God. And then you begin to see your problems for what they are as they are. And when you learn how to fight, now that's another situation. I learned how to fight. I learned about authority. And in other broadcasts, I talked about how I learned it. Kenneth Hagin taught it. I listened to his tapes. Mr. Austin let me use those tapes, and I listened to them. It was at a strategic time. And then the Lord taught me more about it. And then I had to fight to win. I had to fight to preach. I had to fight to not be distracted. I had to fight to not be tempted. I had to fight to walk in love. I had to resist the enemy on every situation. And, you know, I was a businessman in those days. And the weeks before I got ready to preach, somebody, you know, people may not pay you. Parts people to give you the wrong parts. Anything that could go wrong, you could imagine it happened. Even women would try to tempt you. All these things would happen to draw the word out of your heart. But when I knew what to watch out for, it didn't work anymore. And I learned how to stand, and it was better. Now, the body of Christ has been suffering because they lack knowledge, key knowledge. And I'm trying to do something about it. Now, most people are so fascinated by, see, when it happens in stages. People get indoctrinated with the wrong thing. And then now, there's a convenient side to every lie that Satan tells. See, I said earlier that the Roman church married. They couldn't get rid of Christians, so they married them. They just blended their tradition, their service traditions in with what the Christians usually do in holidays. And they kind of, they didn't, you know, they tried to make people's lives easy. Your faith muscles don't grow unless you're challenged, unless you fight the good fight, unless you literally follow God. If you literally follow God, it's like Pastor said way many years ago when I first started going to the church. He said, whenever you're in ministry, you're pushing hell. And the more effective you are, the more you push hell and the enemy try to stop you. Now, he's easy to defeat. You just rebuke him. Every time God gives you an assignment, bless the assignment and tell Satan he can't attack it. Is that not easy? And tell Satan what he can't do. All the things he attempt to do. He's going to attempt to send the wrong people to mess it up. He's going to send evil suggestions that look good to nullify it. You got to be wiser than that. You got to utilize the people that God sent. When I'm doing something for God, I do it God's way. And even anointed people sometimes give you bad advice. Not when they're speaking under the anointing. Not when they're under the anointing, but when they're just going out of their mind. I mean, when people give you advice out of their mind. And also from the heart of God. But you gotta learn to pay attention. If you follow the Holy Ghost yourself, you'll know when it's him. Because he'll come to you with things, like I was saying earlier. Those are the things I put at the highest priority on the top shelf. And when people know what I'm doing and they give suggestions, I listen. Sometimes the suggestions are wholesome. Sometimes it's anointed speech. Sometimes it's just good wisdom. But one thing I always do, even if I agree with it, I run it by the Lord. Make sure there's something I don't see. Well, I ask God questions when I know what to do. Because one day he gave me some wisdom in my business. I kept having the same problem. I forgot what it was because what he said next, it took my attention. I said, Lord, when he told me what to do, I could tell it would work. And I practiced it. I did it, and it blessed my business a lot. And I said, wait a minute, Lord, you knew I needed to know that a long time ago. Why didn't you tell me years ago? I could avoid so many problems. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. He cannot learn the ways of the Father. I was convinced that I was right, just like people who receive dead doctrines of devils. Now, they don't look like doctrines of devils. They sound good, and if you don't know better, it looks good. And you're trying to do the right thing. You know, when somebody's child died, you don't know why their child died. Now, And then, but you just preach God is in full control. But people die. And they want answers. And we really don't have them. Sometimes people are born with a defect. Sometimes it was an attack from the enemy. Sometimes they ate the wrong thing and nobody caught it. Sometimes they ate poison and nobody knew it. There's so many reasons why somebody died. But I can tell you this. God didn't do it. He's not in the death business. I'm going to say that again. He's not in the death business. If God did, he would warn you first. And when people are a threat, they got killed in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. If people kept on seeking to be a curse, Herod was eaten by worms. He didn't glorify God in the presence of his people, of the kingdom. And he died. Nebuchadnezzar was driven out of his mind, but God warned them first. They had warning, and they disobeyed, and they got what they got. So people can die before ahead of time. I'm sorry, that's just, we're at war. Things can go wrong, but it's not God's fault. Somebody asked Jesus, was this man born blind because of his sin or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. Neither. It wasn't his fault or his parents' fault. But God went around doing good to people that had problems and demise in their life. Just like he wants to do now. So to tell people that God quit healing when they desperately need it is foolish. That's a doctrine of Satan. And it stemmed right from the Jews. See, proud men, they don't love God. They want to be in charge. And they want people. Proud kings want people to look to them. Not somebody, not God, or not a deity, not nobody, but something that they set up. They want full control of the people. And the Roman church got in bed with the kings, and they were in cahoots. And they started making money. They made up a purgatory. There's no purgatory. Between the closest thing to purgatory is hospice or a hospital. Because when you die, you go into heaven or you go into hell. One of the two. And you don't soul sleep. That's foolishness. That's a doctrine of the devils too. Because Paul said plainly in English, as you can read, to be dead in the body is to be present with the Lord. You can't not exist, and you don't soul sleep. You go straight to heaven or straight to hell. You're still going to be judged. It's five judgments. The judgments of the believer's self, the judgments of our works, the judgments of nations, the great white throne judgment. See, if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. We made a choice. We believed on Jesus. It's five judgments. You can look them up throughout the New Testament. Now, when God gave me that word virtue, see, even though I didn't know the definition, the way it was used suggested that he lost something. He could feel virtue leaving him. Now, after understanding that, when I'm built up in the word and I'm preaching, I can feel that virtue leaving. And watch this. Jesus said, if the people reject you, your virtue will come back. And that happened to me one time. A person rejected the word, and I felt it come back to me, and I almost rejoiced. Because he rejected it. But if you feel it leaving, then receiving. You got to go put it back. The Lord taught me that. When you preach my word, you go back and fill your heart with it again. So you'll have it. I learned word management because I asked what a definition was. You don't have to get caught up in what you don't know about the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And those tools are good to have. I would ask God anyway, even if I was a Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek scholar. Or a Syrian scholar. I was still asked. I asked the Lord when I know what to do. Just to be on the safe side. But when you fill your heart with the word of God. you start seeing a big picture of the word. You have more vision and you can do more in it, and you can't be deceived. You can't be so easily deceived when you fill your heart with the word. Now, Paul made a statement about his thorn in the flesh and about how he asked the Lord about it three times. And the Lord says, you know, remember, God always he'll always take you back to the foundational things. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. All right. Now, grace is unmerited favor. Everybody loves to say it that way, which now I want to break it down a little more. Grace is a gift from God to you that you didn't earn and you can't afford to pay for it. It's a gift. Now, let's look at the word of God is a grace to us. Many men, he gave it to a man, holy men of God. They wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't made up fables. It came straight from the heart of God to us. They spent so many thousands of hours doing this, writing those words and learning from God so they could write those words. And they had to do it a certain way. It took a lot of effort. Moses did, and then all the other people who wrote the books. And then God caused men to publish it right. Men died in modern times trying to translate it from Latin to English and Latin to German. People died because of it. Tyndale. In the King James Version, that's what we like the most. Once you get past the old English, it's the most accurate translation to me, in my opinion. All the scriptures are there. Some of the revised versions, they took scriptures out. Some of the blood scriptures were removed. Now, and that's too important. So I love the King James. And I was taught by that way by good men of God. Now, the Lord loves us. Remember, he chooses light, and he chose light. And he divided the light from the darkness. He didn't do away with the dark. He chose the light and divided, made a distinction between what's right and what's wrong. And he's going to come back and judge darkness, sin, all of it. That's what he's doing. That's what his word does. He gives grace to the humble, and he resists the proud. All right. The word does the same thing, and the Holy Spirit does the same thing. And men who operate according to the Spirit, they do the same thing. Their words cut like a knife. If the word of God cuts like a knife and divides light from darkness, so do the people of God who follow God. But when people try to blend in to soothe people and keep people from dividing out, they overstep their boundaries. And so that's why so many doctrines, convenient doctrines, have fallen into the church. And the enemy snuck it in. And some people are tares and they teach. So to weed it out, you're going to have to fill your heart with the love of God. Now, Paul made a statement about his thorn in the flesh. I want to clear something up right now. Paul was not sick. When he wrote about his perilous situations in Corinthians, and he listed all the things, I think it was 2 Corinthians chapter 2, sickness was not one of them. Now, I forgot the chapter. I think it was 2 Corinthians chapter 1 or 2. It was one of the early chapters where there was 1 or 2 Corinthians. But when he wrote about all the perils he went through, the storms and the shipwrecks and all the things he went through, the stoning, he was never sick. He didn't mention sickness. When he wrote about the thorn in the flesh, the first reference of a thorn in the flesh was when God told Joshua, if you don't drive out the Canaanites, they would be like thorns in your sides. So, and Paul, in his discourse, he said, he named what the thorn in the flesh was. He said it was a messenger of Satan. It was a person doing Satan's work. Just like the damsel saying, these are the men of God to show us the way of salvation, just mocking and aggravating Paul as he was going about doing God's work. Now, so it wasn't a sickness. So people used the scriptures, and the enemy twisted it around so that he made the he caused people to believe that it's all right to be sick. For some reason, God wants you to glorify him in sickness, and it's stupid. It makes no sense. Jesus paid a high cost to get us healed. He allowed those Roman soldiers to just destroy him, his body, with those whips. By his stripes we're healed. And if you have mental problems, they planted a thorn crown of thorns and forced it on his head. These are those big thorns too. So he healed our mind. Now Isaiah 53 talks about all the healing that God gave us. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was ridiculed. So when you're persecuted, Jesus paid for that. You can overcome everything through Christ. If you're sick in your body, take healing. You learn to walk by faith and stand on the word of God. You'll see all those things fall off your life. All of it. Cancer, all of it. You're just going to have to believe God. Or you're going to be sick. But if you believe God, you're going to be healed. It's up to you. It's up to me. And sometimes it's hard to do. So that's fine.